And some of you are new faces. My phone is ringing. I think it's the Lord. He wants to tell me what I'm supposed to say. It's your mom. Like I told you, it was the Lord. How many of your mother-in-law is the Lord? No. Praise God. I'm just blessed. How many of you are blessed today?
Amen.
And not just today, but every day. Amen. I tell you, I don't understand people who don't have a good relationship with their mother-in-law. Because I do. And maybe it's because I always hand the phone to Lisa. But anyway, I have a good relationship with my mother-in-law. No, really. Lisa's parents are great supporters of ours. Amen. And how many of you have ever been through something where people weren't sure of you, but after they got to know you, they were sure of you? That's kind of like what happened with Lisa's parents. But anyway, that's normal, I guess. Praise the Lord. We kind of have an interesting testimony. And so we're here to minister to you today. And we're supposed to end at 9:30, so we will do that. And today we have, I really believe the Lord has some great things to share with you this year. Amen. Last year we ministered something that really blessed a lot of people. I know that you can get that online on our website. I don't have the newsletters. We'll probably make some room. We'll put some newsletters back there. Sign up list for those of you who want to sign up to get our newsletters. We also have calling cards you can take. You can go find our website. We have a lot of free material that you can download and listen to. People around the world have been blessed, amen, by the Word of God. How many of you know it's the Word of God is what people need?
Amen.
Amen.
But how many of you know that a lot of times, even in the church, we substitute lots of programs for the Word of God? And you put forth a lot of energy, but it doesn't actually change anyone. Because it's the Word that changes people. Amen? And so before we get started today, I'd just like to introduce myself and my wife. Of course, she'll be ministering as well. My name is Sean Michaud. That's my wife, Lisa Michaud. And I'm originally from South Louisiana, New Orleans. I was born in New Orleans, but lived around the world. We've lived as full-time missionaries since 1999. My wife is from the island of Trinidad, of the nation of Trinidad and Tobago. It's two islands, make up one nation, just 7 miles off the coast of Venezuela. And so back in 1995, I gave my life to the Lord March 12th, 1995. I grew up going to church and all that sort of thing, but it wasn't until March 12th, 1995 that I gave my life to the Lord. And I said a very dangerous prayer, but it wasn't dangerous for me because I meant it. And I said, Lord, I lived my life for 24 years doing what I wanted to do. And I was succeeding. I was prospering. I was being promoted. But I realized that this wasn't what life is all about. You know, how many of you have discovered that making money is nice, but it's not what life's about?
Amen.
But sometimes we can get confused about that. And so I said, this is not what I want. And so I gave my life to the Lord. And I said a prayer that said, I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And because I was serious, the Lord was serious. And so immediately He led me to quit the job I had, and I moved to Mobile, Alabama, and I met Lisa in church there. And she was going to nursing school there, and she said she didn't know why she was going to nursing school, because she didn't want to be a nurse. But she knew God had her there studying nursing. But she wanted to be a minister, a missionary. She wanted to go to Bible school, and God had her here. Well, that was to meet me, amen. Not that I'm so wonderful, but God had a plan together for us. And so we've been going at it since 1995. We immediately felt the Lord was leading us to go to Bible school. We realized God had put us together. And how many of you know God is a perfect matchmaker? Too many people are worried about who they're going to marry. Oh, especially a lot of times, girls especially, young ladies, they're so desperate to get married. And so they're, you know, is this the one? Is that the one? You know, you don't have to worry about that. Just love God. Get your eyes on Jesus. And that's anything. You know, how many of you know we can become anxious over lots of things? We can become anxious over ministry. We can become anxious over many, many things. And the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing. How many of you have discovered sometimes it's when we're anxious, we can't hear God? He didn't say, be anxious for nothing except this. Be anxious about ministry, because it's a serious calling. No, he said, be anxious for nothing. You know why? Last year I taught a series, I'm not teaching this year, but I taught a series called Inheritance, and that is Jesus in us doing the work through us. It takes all the pressure off of us. A lot of times we put so much pressure to bear fruit for God, and we can't bear fruit for God. God never told us to bear fruit for God. He said fruit is of the Spirit. And where does the Spirit now live? Which is the verse she read this morning. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be joined to the Lord, he is one spirit with him. We don't have to put the pressure on ourselves to bear fruit. When we have pressure on ourselves to bear fruit, we will not bear fruit. And then we get under more pressure because we're not bearing fruit, because we're under pressure. And because we're under pressure, we can't bear fruit. And it's an endless, vicious cycle that never ends. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Amen? Amen. But I've been anxious for ministry, and I discovered this. The Lord spoke this clearly to me, that when I'm anxious over ministry, because, you know, that's a good thing. How many of you know it's a good thing? The Bible says, if any man desires to be a bishop, that's a good thing, Paul said. So it's nothing wrong with wanting to commit your life to the Lord and do what He wants for you. But if you start to become anxious or discouraged, I don't know. How many of you are in Bible school here because you feel like God has something for you? And you felt like God said, come here to get the word, to be prepared. Let me tell you, you need the word no matter what God has for you. Whether it be in a full-time ministry or whether it be if you're going to run or operate a business. But you are a minister if you're a child of God, no matter where you are. Amen? Amen. And the Bible, and it's a human nature and a human characteristic to become disappointed when things don't meet our expectations. And God spoke this to me. It was very clear. He said, when you are disappointed in your ministry, it's because you've made your ministry your reward instead of me. You know, you could put ministry anything. It could be marriage. You know, some people are so disappointed because they feel they don't have a strong and good marriage, and so they're disappointed and they can't be full of joy and full of life because they've made that their reward instead of God as their reward. I think I mentioned that a little bit last year, but God's our reward. He told Abraham, gave him a great promise that he's going to be the father of many nations. How many of you know it would be easy to make the calling of I'm a father of many nations to be your reward and your whole focus and your identity? And God said no in Genesis chapter 15. I'm your exceedingly great reward. Be not afraid. I'm your reward. I don't know if Abraham was sitting there and he was looking at his life and he said, he's called me the father of many nations. He said, I'm going to be blessed. He said, and I don't even have a son. I don't know. Maybe he started getting discouraged. You ever thought about that? It took him 25 years to have that child. How many of you know? And it was after he was good and dead and his wife was good and dead where all he could do was just say, oh, it must be you, God. You know, sometimes what hinders God from being able to do what he wants in our life, we're not yet at the place of it has to be only you. We're still trying to work it somehow. We're trying to bear that fruit. Amen?
Amen.
And I was planning on giving an introduction to us. But we, like I said, we went to Charis Bible College. We felt like the Lord was leading us there. And we went to Charis Bible College back in 1995. We were the second class that ever went through there. I was the very first apprentice intern that CBC ever had. And then we were the first students that went out from CBC and started a work in Ufa, Russia. And we had 150 students. We saw 7 churches planted out of the Bible school. And so the Lord has done incredible stuff that we've seen the Lord do. And I've been amazed sometimes at what the Lord's been able to do. Because how many of you know that if we look to ourselves, very little will get done? Because in ourselves, if God's called you to something, whatever it is, and when God shows you He wants you to do it, it should terrify you. Seriously. If it takes God, how many of you know God created everything we see? And whatever God tells you He wants you to do is going to take Him doing it, who created everything that we see. How many of you know we just showed up a short while ago in this whole realm of time? So we are not supposed to know everything. He knows everything. All God's told us to do is put our hand in His and go.
Amen.
How many of you ever felt like you were God was dangling you over a precipice? There's no such thing. God doesn't dangle you over a precipice. That's your flesh.
Amen.
Because your flesh can't see it. That's your flesh dying. But God is, He has you in His hand.
Amen. Thank you.
He's not dangling you over a precipice and you, if I let go, you're going to fall. No. He's in your hand. You're in His hand. Sorry. Amen. It's your flesh, because faith pleases God. What is faith? Believing Him. Not believing you.
Come on.
Believing Him. Oh, it bothers me when I hear people say, you need to believe in yourself. No, you don't. You need to believe in Him.
Amen.
If I believed in me, I'd never have done anything.
Amen.
You need to believe in Him. Now, I'm not saying that you need to hate yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. But you need to believe in God more than you don't believe in yourself. You need to not believe in yourself. You need to say, I can't do this. Because then you're in a good place. And I've discovered this. A lot of times when we feel like God's calling us to do something, we don't have all the answers to the questions of how is it going to get done. Is that not true? And if we're not careful, because we don't have answers, that can hinder us from stepping out. And what I've discovered is God's answers to all of our questions, based upon what He's calling us to do, the answers are on the other side of obedience. On the other side of saying yes. I have testimony after testimony after testimony. When we moved to South Africa, we bought one-way tickets, and that's always the way I do it. Whenever I go to a nation that I believe God's called me to, I buy one-way tickets. Why? Because it doesn't matter where you go, and this is the false concept that people have, that when they're going to step out and do what God's called them to do, that because it's God, there's going to be no challenges. That's the biggest lie people have ever believed. If there are no challenges, then you are probably doing what the devil wants. Because if they're challenged, if you're going to do what God wants, the devil's going to try to stop it.
Amen.
It's not that he's scared of you. He's scared of the potential of you believing God, because he's seen God do something through normal people.
Amen.
He knows what God can do.
Amen.
He's not worried about you. He's worried about you believing God and seeing what God can do through you. See, that's what he's concerned about. And so when you step out, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that come against you, people that talk about you. How many of you have ever had someone talk about you that's not even true what they said? That's just the way it is. Take it as a compliment. The devil's a liar. And he's speaking through other people because he's concerned about what God's going to do. Don't take it personally. When people start talking bad about you, when people start murmuring about you and all these things, don't take it personally about yourself. It's not you. It's actually the work. It's actually what God wants to do. That's what he's attacking. But the way that the devil has noticed through the years is that if we take offense, we can actually stop what God wants to do. And we also say this. This is kind of the introduction hour. I'm not really getting into what I'm going to talk about today. But whenever you do something, in ministry is about people. It's about ministering to people. It's about giving life to people. It's about seeing people get the word. It's about seeing God move in people's lives and seeing them being raised up. And sometimes you will be helping someone and ministering to someone, and someone will love you so much and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, their attitude towards you changes like that. Now they disagree with everything you do and how you're doing it. And this is the way it needs to be done and all this and this and that and the other. And sometimes I discovered, and I don't understand this, but it's just human nature, and people give themselves over to Satan sometimes, is that sometimes the people that you help the most end up turning on you the most. And if we're not careful, we become bitter, discouraged, and we're more hesitant to trust again. Think about Jesus and Judas. I guarantee you that that was a tendency to be a very painful situation. And so when we start to mature, listen to me, When we start to mature is when we no longer are feeling sorry for ourselves and hurt for ourselves. We are actually concerned and compassionate about that person because we recognize what's happening. And we actually are mourning for them because they don't know they're being used of the devil. Amen? I'm not saying expect this, but it's going to happen. I'm not saying believe for this. But if Jesus was perfect and never said one thing wrong, how many of you believe Jesus never said one thing wrong? People might have interpreted him incorrectly, but he never said one thing wrong. I can't claim that. I haven't always dealt with everyone perfectly, even though that wasn't my intention. Sometimes I've offended people and didn't mean to, but I did. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But if a perfect Jesus, people could betray him, then I guarantee you, we can be betrayed, an imperfect us. Amen? Now, what I want to share with the rest of the remainder of this hour, we have, it's until 9:30. I just want to share a couple of nuggets with you. Is that good?
Yes.
And then Lisa's going to carry on. And then later on, I'll teach the next hour, and then Lisa will teach the hour surrounding lunch. She'll have 2 hours, and then I'll come back and minister. But then I want to open up the time for my children to get up and just share a little bit, and maybe you can ask some questions, because people we've gone places they like to understand, like, hey, what is it like as a kid is being a missionary and that kind of thing? Because they're missionaries. They're not just Tagalongs. They pray for people too. Amen? And I believe if you think your child is too young to live for God, the devil doesn't believe that. If you believe, oh, they're too young, they can't understand the word, the devil doesn't believe that. That's why he'll try to get his message in first. You need to get God's message in first. Amen? And we've seen it work, amen? But I want to talk about a little bit, just a little bit, some nuggets about the timing of God. Because a lot of times people think about that God's timing is perfect, and it is. But a lot of times people are waiting for God to move, when truly God is waiting to move when we believe. And so if you're waiting for God to move, and God's waiting for you to believe so He can move, you're never going to see God move, and you'll be 70 years old still waiting on God's timing. I say this with all love, and those of you who are in Bible school, I believe you already believe this or you wouldn't be here, but it's amazing how many times we have ministered the Word and people get excited. And we've ministered people who are in their 70s, 60s and 70s coming to some of our groups. And we ministered the Word, and they're getting excited. And then we talk about God's timing, about how God is desiring to move and all these things. And all of a sudden, it seems like they get disappointed because they realize, if what you're saying is true, then I've wasted 70 years of my life. And so they choose to believe, nope, God's told me it takes Him a long time, and He's still not done. I said, but when? I mean, you're 70. It's getting down towards the end. I mean, when is this? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I want to talk, let us turn over. I just want to share something real quickly with you. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, and also I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, Deb, to see some things here. It's a blessing to me when God showed me this. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk a little bit about Noah today. And how many of you know God? A lot of people have the concept that God was going to send the flood, and Noah, he had a certain amount of time to get that ark built. And if he didn't have it built by a certain amount of time, it would have been too late. How many of you know sometimes we feel that way? If you don't answer to God today, then you've missed the call on your life. That's not true. The call of God's never too late for you. But let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to share a quick nugget with you. Hebrews chapter 11, let's go to verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. I want you to focus on that. Every time God speaks to your heart something that He wants to do through you, it's not yet seen. That's why it's new to you and why it scares you. You know what I discovered? Every time God speaks to you, it's not I'm talking about when God starts to speak to you about what He's wanting to bring you into, it's not the same as what you've been doing. You can get to a place in life and in ministry where you get comfortable with where you are right now, but when you first started, you were not comfortable. Oh, God! But you've gotten comfortable in it. See, in other words, you are. It's natural for you to believe God now in this, what you're doing. So God starts to expand your seeing, your vision. I'm talking about that spiritual vision, like going on television. And you will say, but right now I don't have the means. You're right. I've discovered this. When God calls you, He's not calling you where you are now. He's calling you where He wants to take you. Does this make sense? And so often we want to stay where we are now and judge where God is telling us and say, I can't do that. You're right. You can't do that where you are now. That's why God told you. He's telling you, let's go. So Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen with the natural eyes. Faith is seeing God's realm. Faith is not about the natural realm. We have natural senses for this realm. We have spiritual senses, faith, for God's realm. How many of you know God exists, even though we don't see Him in the natural realm? We know He's real. We know He's in us. Yes, we can sense Him. Yes, people have had visions. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is that He is real. So that is a reality, even though our natural senses only pick up natural information. Your faith sense picks up spiritual information. So it's not seen in this realm. Doesn't mean it's not seen, period. It's not seen in this realm. So Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. He moved with godly fear. He's not talking about being scared. He's talking about saying, okay, even though I don't see it, I don't understand this. People may not understand me. Think about it. People may laugh at me. But that's what God said. I choose to believe Him rather than what I can see, what I can perceive, what is in my pocket right now. All I have is this. I can't. And it says, He prepared an ark for the saving of His household, by which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I want you to notice that the Bible teaches, and of course I don't need to teach on what God was doing in the flood. I don't need to teach that. You should have heard that. The true nature of God. Amen. But notice it says that Abraham's faith, all right, his faith, when he believed God and when he started to move and do what God told him to do, the reality of what God spoke was made possible or took place in this world. I don't have time to teach on authority, but God has always chosen to flow through men who believe Him, men or women. Amen. So for us, when God speaks to us, He's not telling us, do this. I mean, the flood's already come. He's not going to do that again. Right there, that verse right there, Isaiah 54. He was actually preserving us. He was looking forward to us. Amen. But when God speaks to you, He's expecting you to believe what He says and step out, even though you don't see it with your eyes. For what purpose? To bring salvation, healing to the world. You know, God wants to touch people in this area. He wants to touch people in this world. And there's only one way He can do it, and that is through us. Because He chose that method. So instead of disagreeing with God, how about we agree with God? Let's turn over to, real quick, 1 Peter. I want to show you this. This is incredible. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verse 20. This is just bringing something out that goes against what a lot of people believe about God. How many of you know God can do whatever He wants? It's not true. The church had been preaching that, but God cannot do whatever He wants in the sense that He's not going to make you do what He wants. He can want something for you so badly that He would die for you. Which He did. But if you don't want it, the reality of what He did does you no good. God's not willing that any perish. But yet, there are people perishing. Why? Because they don't believe. We'll finish in just a minute here, but I want to bring this out. Who formerly were disobedient. We're going right into the middle of a statement here, but I'm going to focus on this verse. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited. I want you to notice this. When once the divine long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Do you see that? God wanted to do something, but God did not do something until the ark was prepared. I don't know if that makes sense to you. A lot of people have this concept that God's timing is perfect and God moves independently of you. That's not what the Bible teaches. This tells us that God waited until Noah believed, and when the ark was completed, then the drops came. It wasn't coming on a set day. If it took Noah 200 years to build the ark, it would have been 200 years. If it took him 3 years to build the ark, the rain would have come in 3 years. You see what I'm saying? So what is this? How do we apply this to us? God is waiting to do great things. He's waiting. He's speaking to our hearts. And He's not able to do it until we move in the direction God's telling us. Then God's able. God wants to bring revival to Gardner in this whole area. Amen. So you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and God's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, saying, oh, when will they step out? So when you step out, it's like a flood of God's goodness starts to boom. Because He's been waiting. Oh, finally. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to believe God. It just takes people believing. So God wants to do great things. He has great calls upon all of your lives. And He's waiting. He's waiting. What is He waiting on? For us to believe Him and move with godly fear with the steps He's telling us to go. See, He gives us one step at a time. He doesn't give us the 10 years down the road steps. He may give you the general idea of you're called to ministry and teach the word, but what is the actual outworking, how He wants you to do that? He gives you one step at a time. Amen? So I'm excited about your steps. I'm excited about all of you. This was yours. How many of you know God? How many of you believe God called you here? How many of you have had this idea? What next? How many of you heard God to come here? You'll hear Him when it's time to make the next step. Don't get under anxiety, amen. That stops you from hearing the voice of God, amen. So let's take a break and we'll continue. Amen.